नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारा रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट 3। भूतवीरुत्रण गुल्म गह्वरे कठोर दंशैर्मशकैरुपद्रुतः क्वचित्तु गन्धर्वपुरं प्रपश्यति क्वचित् क्वचिच्चाशुरयोल्मुखग्रहम्। प्रभु ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। In this forest, there are dense bowers composed of thickets of bushes, grass and creepers. In these bowers, the conditioned soul is always disturbed by cruelly biting mosquitoes, envious people. Sometimes he sees an imaginary palace in the forest, and sometimes he is bewildered by seeing a fleeting fiend or ghost which appears like a meteor in the sky. Purport. The material household is actually a hole of fruitive activity. To earn a livelihood, one engages in different industries and trades, and sometimes one performs great sacrifices to go to higher planetary systems. Apart from this, at least everyone is engaged in earning a livelihood in some professional occupation. In these dealings, one has to meet many undesirable people, and their behavior is compared to the biting of mosquitoes. This creates very undesirable conditions. Even in the midst of these disturbances, one imagines that he is going to construct a grand house and live there permanently, although he knows that he cannot. Gold is compared to a quickly fleeting fiend, which appears like a meteor in the sky. It displays itself for a moment and is then gone. Generally, karmis are attracted to gold or money, but these are compared herein to ghosts and witches. So Jad Bharat is continuing his allegory of comparing this material world to a forest. And in this verse he is saying, that a conditioned soul is compared to an adventurer, a merchant who comes across this forest. And just like a forest has fruits, leaves and gum from the trees, flowers or maybe hidden gold, and it's all there, it's all ready made. You don't need to do anything, you don't need to set up, you don't need to get anybody's permission. So he thinks this is like a free for all. And as there is a very popular expression in the West, finders, keepers. You find something, you keep that. So that is the mood in which the conditioned soul comes in this material world. And he sees that, hey, everything is just like a laid table. If you go to a mansion or a house and you find a laid table already, then you feel that it is there for me. There are already people working hard. So in this way, without even questioning as to who is the owner, who is the proprietor, he just goes and tries to enjoy. But what happens when he actually begins the process of getting things or trying to catch something or trying to put his name on something? He says in this verse, in this forest there are dense bowers composed of thickets of bushes, grass and creepers. It's a very thick forest. So much so that in the Ramayana it is described, the Dandakaranya forest was so thick that even the sun rays would not touch the ground. And of course we also have that objective for our Vrindavan forest here. we are requested that it should be so thick with fruit, leaves, flower trees, that sunlight should not touch the ground. So that kind of forest, and what do you expect? What does the conditioned soul expect when he goes there? He goes there to find something pleasurable. But in these bowers, the conditioned soul is always disturbed by cruelly biting mosquitoes. And this is something which he has never expected. Or sometimes, while wandering in this forest, he sees an imaginary palace in the forest. Now, in the forest, how can somebody see a palace? But Gandharva Puram is a very popular theme in Vaishnava, in Sanskrit poetry. It is recurring throughout Vedic literature. There are also other things like Akash Pushpa, flowers in the sky. And of course, the famous Bengali version is the Ghoda Dim, the egg of a horse. Or Shashaka Shringa, the horn of a rabbit. You can never see a horn of a rabbit or an egg of a horse. So these are the imaginary things which are never actually existing. And sometimes he is bewildered by seeing a fleeting fiend. A fiend is a ghostly creature. And that really worries him, that this place was supposed to be so innocent looking, and how come these disturbances are coming here? Or a ghost which comes like a meteor in the sky. So Prabhupada is saying that the material household is a whole of fruitive activity. H-O-L-E, whole, not the complete whole. But it's a whole, or a bila, that's the word used, of fruitive activity. Right from the beginning of his sojourn, of his journey in this material world, the living entity is always looking for something pleasurable. As we were discussing in our Bhagavad Gita classes, in the 13th chapter, we are introduced to the concept of the koshas. The Vedanta describe 5 kinds of koshas or sheath, coverings. And these 5 kinds of koshas, they cover the soul's identity. The very first one is called Annamay Kosh. Annamay, something may means something is filled with that particular substance. So Annamay is like a baby, 6-7 months old. Whatever it sees, first it will taste it. If it is not good for taste, its palate, it will keep it down. Now babies can do that, but even adults also do that. A person may get a job and his only endeavor is, what this job is giving me? How much can I get? There are employees who steal from their factories whatever they can lay their hands upon. Like when we go for book distribution, we come across these very innovative schemes in which employers try to restrict stealing from the workplace. Workplace theft is a big issue. Companies lose millions and millions of rupees. Like in one factory in Jalgaon, I was told that the security guard has a sack containing, or a jar containing, some balls of different color. Mostly are yellow and black. So if you get one color, you're allowed to go without any checking. But if you happen to have the black colored one, which are few, then thoroughly you are checked. You have to be detained for at least 2-3-4 minutes. So that saves time. At the same time, people don't know that, perhaps, that fateful day I may have something like a stapler and I may be caught. So of course, this is not very highly developed consciousness. I was in one factory with Jagannath Prabhu, Seat Tires. And I was talking to the personal manager and I said, of course, you know, you make such bulky, foul-smelling things here. Who will like to steal? He says, what do you mean? We lose almost 1,000 tires every year just by stealing. That's our average estimate. But I said, how can somebody steal a whole truck tire with him? He said, no, they throw it out of the compound from the factory wall. Sometimes it is not even fully prepared, but they just steal it for the rubber. So, this may seem like innocent pastime. Somebody just wants to steal. There are people who are kleptomaniacs. They can't resist. They have to have something. I had a friend once. There was never an office where he had not stolen something from. All the coaching classes, like the one we used to go together, one day we went to pay the fees. The accountant there, he just vanished to get something. In the meanwhile, he stole his punch. I said, why do you do it? He said, just for fun. So it's a mental disease, but people do it. But Vedanta teaches us that this is nothing but that Annamay Kosh. Whatever you see, you want, what is in it for me? And of course then naturally the child grows to from Annamay to Pranamay. Now you are identifying yourself that I am this body and I have to survive. Then you go to Manomay, where there are various ways in which these koshas can be understood. First is, if your food problem is solved, then you want something for your mind, something to fantasize, something to entertain your mind. Something for your survival instinct. So food problem, survival instinct, then some entertainment of the mind, then the jnanamay, then something for your intelligence. Then vijnanamay, and finally anandamay. So anandamay is technically the platform of devotional service, where you get real pleasure of the soul. So here we are typically dealing with, when Prabhupada says somebody is a karmi, and he calls that karmi envious. Why karmis are always envious? Why they have to be called as envious? Somebody might be saying, I have my job, my family, my profession. I envy no one. But no. In this world, you cannot be a non-Krishna conscious person and not be non-envious. You have to envy someone. And just like we began with this idea that the demoniac are described in the Bhagavad Gita as, they describe the world as unreal, asatyam, apratishthamte, jagad ahu. They call this world asatyam. It is not real. It has no foundation. It is just like floating in the sky, like a castle in air. Kim anyat kama hetukam? What is the main propelling factor other than lust? But then an intelligent man should ask a question. If this world is unreal, then why so much effort in trying to enjoy it? Who would try to enjoy something unreal? The real fact is that a conditioned living entity is forced to enjoy this world. As Prabhupada describes in one lecture, his life becomes a series or a chain of compromises. If I can't get this, okay, I'll be satisfied with this. So, thus begins the long chain of transmigration. That is called as Pavarga. This pavarga, apavarga also comes many times in Srimad Bhagavatam. Pavarga means all those consonants beginning with pa, 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 ba, ba, and ma. Pa means parishram, hard labor, not just effort or endeavor. Many times when Rishabhdev's teachings are described as, when he is telling his sons, do not endeavor for hard labor. And devotees, we think, so shouldn't I also strive very hard? Is effort or endeavor, is that against devotional service? No. Vishnu Prityartham, whatever you do for the satisfaction of Vishnu, you should engage all your senses, all your strength, everything should be given for the service of Vishnu. But this hard labor is different. How it is different? It cannot be seen as different. When devotees work hard distributing books, constructing temples, or preaching, or doing everything what others do, it looks exactly the same. Only the results are different. So much so that alum and crystal sugar, they look similar. But only when you taste them, you understand that this alum is sour tasting, it cannot be used. And crystal sugar is actually sweet, it can be used to make something sweet. So hard labor, parishram. Prabhupada's favorite analogy for this was a donkey, an ass. And he has his master sitting on his back. And at the long end of a stick, he has put a carrot. Now I really don't know whether donkeys enjoy eating carrots or not, but certainly that looks very attractive. And the only thing he feels, if I run a little bit harder, little bit faster, I can get that carrot. He doesn't understand that whether he runs fast or slow, the distance between him and the carrot is going to remain the same, because it is caught in the hand of his master who is sitting on his back. So that is parishram. This parishram brings with it the next varga, that is fena, foaming at the mouth. Braj Bihari Prabhu from Vrindavan was giving a class. He said that his brother, they both of them, there's not so much of an age difference, who's a lawyer, is practicing in Washington DC. And he was telling in India, it was a hot summer month of Vrindavan, he was giving this class. He said, I visit him at least once a year as a matter of duty. So I saw that his house, it's a very nice house, fully air-conditioned. And then he took me to the garage, which is also air-conditioned. He sat in his vehicle, which of course is air-conditioned, and went to his office, which is also air-conditioned. Of course, in India, that thing is a big attraction. It may be a commonplace thing in the West. But he said, just to maintain this whole establishment, he and his wife, they practically are foaming at the mouth, having no time. In fact, for karmis, this is supposed to be an ornament. Krishna's body, Lord Krishna's body is described as avranam in the Ishopanishad also and in the Bhagavat also. So avranam means without any defect, without any cuts, without any deformities. But just like in the mafia, if you have someone and he has a big scar on his face and he looks really dreadful, they even have nicknames like Scar Face or Scar. He likes to call himself that one small symbol on his face. Or the way people live, you may see someone saying, double bypass ho gaya hai. See, have had double bypass surgery or triple bypass surgery or whatever, and that is seen as an ornament. You try to glorify your body, showing that, look, I survived. But the Lord's body is described as avranam, without any defect. Although he does so many things for his devotees, he carries them, he looks after them. He even takes the arrows of Bhishma Deva on his body and blood comes out. How can blood come out of the Lord's transcendental body? Normally, if someone cuts the Lord's body, he cannot cut it, first of all, but nothing will happen. But that blood is a reciprocation with Bhishma Deva's desire to see the Lord in the chivalry rasa. He wants to see the Lord in a fighting mood. So, coming to the point of fena, so that foaming at the mouth, oh, I don't have any time, I just don't have time. Look at me. Like when Europeans were settling in the West, there was one Red Indian fighter. His name was Stinking Saddle. Now, what kind of glorification is that? But he was saying that I ride so fast, so quick. I am such a great warrior. I don't have time to change my saddle. So that saddle stinks if it's not chained properly. So Stinking Saddle was his glorification. He was a terror. People were afraid of him. So because of considering the fact that adventuring in this material world is a glorified activity, so Parishram is glorified. Hard labor is glorified. While secretly, no one likes it. No one likes to actually work hard. Our Sri Gaurang Prabhu was telling that there is one very top-notch blue-chip financial institution which has just come to Nariman Point, and they are so powerful, and they really take chosen few highly intellectual financial managers, that they take others' money, they give it to somebody else to manage, and the managers play billiards in the office. It's a fact. If you go there, that's what they do. Have you seen that? No. So that's not anyone's idea of hard-working financial professionals. But secretly, that's what everybody wants to do. But of course, they would like to show their face that I'm working very hard. So in this temporary manifestation, you have to work hard, and then the next thing is foam. That gives rise to the next one, ba. Pa, fa, ba. That is bandhan. Sometimes Prabhupada translates as byarthata or futility of everything. You get bonded. There is a strong bondage. There is strong identification with that particular thing. So bondage, bonded labor. People want to emancipate laborers, but that's what it is. You get attached. And then bha. Bha is bhiti, fear. Always there is a fear that what would happen. Kaunteya Prabhu, the congregation preaching minister, once he was giving class, he gave an example. He came in touch with a very rich Indian family, settled in the UK for the last 3-4 generations. Merchants, traders. That man was saying that today my daily transaction is equal to my grandfather's yearly transaction. What my grandfather used to do in a whole year is something which I do daily. And commensurate are the profits. I also earn, he would earn in 6 months or 8 months or a year maybe. But I am not able to understand that he used to take 3-4 months leave. He used to go and do so many things. I am practically spending 16 hours working every day. How is it? So people can't understand this. Everything, all the material gadgets, all the electronic telecommunication, all the digital accessories which are coming out in the market every day, they are supposed to make my life free. They are supposed to give me some free time. Previously, women folk used to grind. Now you have a grinder, you have a mixer, you have a blender, you have a washing machine. All is supposed to give you free time. But in a survey done, they found out that housewives are still complaining, no free time. One man put it succinctly, everything I own owns me. And the second part of it is, anytime I see a problem, I am just tempted to throw money at it and expect a solution in return. And that doesn't happen. You cannot solve problems today by throwing money at them and then expect a solution. This world is not like a weight machine at the railway stall. You stand on it for some time, see the circle stopping, put your coin and expect a solution. No, it doesn't happen like that. Instead, what you get is hard labor, you're practically foaming at the mouth, you're fearful at every moment, and then M is Mrityu. Everything ends with death. And that too, karmis have a solution. They feel that everybody has to die. Devotees won't die. Didn't your acharyas die? So what? But they don't know what exactly happens at death. What exactly do we mean by death? Sure, we have material bodies and these bodies will die one day. But this death of a transcendentalist will be his gateway towards eternal life. So when someone has practically no idea of what is eternal life, he has to live a life of compromise. And therefore, Prabhupada says here, in your dealings every day, one has to meet many undesirable people, and their behavior is compared to the biting of mosquitoes. Like from self-experience I can say, we have these new dome mosquito nets. What is worse than having mosquitoes everywhere by to bite you? Worse than that is one who has entered your dome and the lights are off and now he has a field day or a field night, whatever. He is free to bite you at will. Or later in this series of verses, we find crickets, not the game, but the insect. The game also is equally a nuisance, but the insect is more so. What is worse than the noise of the cricket? They say it is not knowing where it is coming from. And you feel such a small insect. It is not even that it is shouting or shrieking at the top of its voice to make that sound. It is just rubbing some parts of his body. At least that's what I heard. And that's what makes this big sound. And you feel so alarmed, you feel so irritated. More so when you concentrate on it. And then when you're trying to subtract that sound from everything. Similarly, there are so many things in life and you meet some undesirable people. Maybe your boss, maybe your colleagues, maybe subordinates, maybe neighbors, fellow passengers. Like our Radha Valla Prabhu was telling, they took this newly arrived airline company's early flights, very nice, grand. They advertise it as Bombay, Paradise, London. You are in Bombay, when you are with us, it is paradise. And then you come down to London. But that paradise turned to be a very short-lived one. When one passenger, one nasty fellow, who kept on drinking, because drinks were free, I think, and made life miserable for everybody on the plane. He would not be placated by the airline staff or whatever. So that is the understanding that something looks very pleasurable, like a bower or a thicket. You better know what kind of treasures may be there, what kind of trees you may find in this forest. But inevitably everything ends in misery. Dinabandhu Prabhu, when he had just joined a temple, They thought that Krishna consciousness is just fasting, just feasting. So many series of feasts, festivals came. And then one day, the temple commander announced in the morning, today is a fast till 12 noon. And he was surprised, what is that? He says, we don't eat anything till 12 noon. He says, really? So they had no discipline, no way of practicing that. But they said there is a feast at the end of the fasting session. So 12 o'clock would be a feast. So somehow they fasted. Fasting especially is a bit too heavy when you don't know it springs upon you suddenly. If you are prepared mentally, then it's okay. So somehow the young initiates to Krishna consciousness, coming from a hippie lifestyle, free for all, and now they are having a strictly regimented life. And then the 12 o'clock aarti got over, then the Narasimha aarti got over, they all came into Prasadam hall, they were knowing the prayers, Prasadam prayers, so they were just sort of Shri Vajjal, Zarendra, very fast. And then the devotees came with a big cake and they started serving the cake. There was one slight hitch. Instead of sugar, the devotee had unknowingly put salt in the cake. And the cake looked so gorgeous. It looked so nice. They were so hungry. This fasting just was, it had sprung upon them. It was like a surprise thing. And then this cake looked so good and everybody was served a big piece. And he would put a bite and oh! Put it back again. Start eating something else. But it looks so attractive. So would say, I'll take a little piece. Let's see if I can sift that salt away from it. Again put it back. Oh, so salty. He says 3-4 times throughout the whole course of the meal. Again and again, the sight of the cake was so attractive that you are again you are going towards it. You put it in your mouth and you feel. So those who have the cake, they feel I can enjoy. As Prabhupada says here, you know, mansions, properties, or family life. Those who don't have it, they feel he's happy. He may say he's miserable. You may say, what kind of problems you have? I tried to get some parts from my Mercedes car, you know. And these people are so idiots. They don't even have those parts now. You want to show that you have a Mercedes car. It's the latest model and the parts are not available. And somebody says, wow, here's a Mercedes car, huh? Very good. So those who don't have it, they feel envious. Those who have it, they tell themselves, I am supposed to enjoy, but why am I not enjoying? Maybe I am enjoying. So in this way, your mind just goes in this duality. King Muchakunda prays to Lord Krishna, Na kamaye anyam tava pada sevanad akinchana prarthimataram varam vibho aradhya kastvam hi apavarga adamhare vrinita aryo atma bandhanam. King Muchakunda is asked by Krishna, ask anything, any blessing from me. So he is saying, Na kamaye anyam tava pada sevanad. Apart from service to your lotus feet, I don't desire any other kind of liberation, any other kind of boon. Akinchana prarthyatam varam vibho. Better that I don't desire anything material. Why is that? Aradhya kastvam hi apavargadam hare. Serving you, you get the benefit of what? Apavargadam. This is pavarga of hard work, foaming at the mouth, bondage, fear and death. But Krishna's devotional service is called apavarga, just the opposite. That means there is no hard work in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada asked once, you Hare Krishnas, what do you do for recreation? Prabhupada says, we only do recreation. Sauram Bhattacharya was asked by Lord Chaitanya, hundreds of items, that too in such large volume, when did you prepare it? And only two of you and your wife. And he said, well, it was just, I tried something. Now since I have made it, you have to eat it. He says, well, I can't eat all that. He said, don't tell me this. As Jagannath, 56 offerings you eat so many times daily. So Sarvam Bhattacharya actually proved it that this was nothing. Sometimes devotion service is called a labor of love. There is labor, but there is love involved. If somebody asks a person that this whole trunk is filled with currency notes, can you count it? If he is of a typical mentality, he says, why not? My hands get never tired counting notes. Now that's a tedious task for somebody whose mentality is not suited to that. But for some it's a labor of love. There is less labor, more love involved there. Or Vishwanath Chakravarti's example, a very bonny baby, newly born, and the mother carries it. It may be heavy for others, but for the mother there is no labor at all. So there is less labor and more love. So therefore, Muchakundo is saying, Vrinita Aryo Atma Bandhanam. If somebody is a progressive minded individual, he will never ask for something which will be Atma Bandhanam, which is the cause of his own bondage. So I don't desire anything. And Prabhupada says in that purport, this is the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. That you know that Krishna is powerful enough, is capable enough of giving anything. Anything means actually anything. But just give me something which will not start my pavarga again. So, time and again, so many countless kings and emperors have come and gone. Everybody has tried. There are always new schemes coming up. People always feel that this is something which nobody has tried. I'm going to do it for the first time. But no. This grand material world, seen through the eyes of a transcendent like Jad Bharat, he says it is just a Gandharva Puram. It's just a show of light and sound. Like sometimes they do at Chopati, this show of light and sound. Huge images, holographic images are shown in air. Just because you see something, you don't see it, you don't feel it is there. Because everything is managed by these machines. So for this material world, these machines are not seen, they are not visible. But that's what the Acharya say. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Chayabaji Praya. Just Chayabaji. A play of shadows and light. So, we should heed the advice of devotees like Muchukunda and Rahugana later. Of course, it is interesting that King Rahugana is a very powerful king and he's getting these analogies, this allegory. But unlike Arjun, like Krishna, in the 15th chapter, he just tells Arjun, Ashwattham, there is a banyan tree, Urdhva Moolam Adashakham, Ashwattham Praur Avyayam. And Arjun understands what it means. Krishna is not telling him that, okay, now I'll give you an analogy, let's see if you understand. But here, Rahugana, he understands, he tries to understand the whole thing. At the end, he says, I didn't understand anything. Can you please explain me what you said? So yesterday we saw the six plunderers, six thieves. Today we are seeing the creepers, Gulma, Ulmukha, ghosts. After this chapter is over, Jadabharat again patiently goes back to his analogy and explains everything in detail. The Ulmuk stands for a ghost or a fiend. And that is like gold. Then the thickets, the mosquitoes in the thicket, in the bushes, they are compared to the undesirable people you meet in your daily life or business. Like it or not, they are going to bite you. And how many can you hit? How many can you eliminate? You will always be disturbed. Upadruta. So of course that we will see later. So we will stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions, comments? Okay, there is a question about the difference between Jnanamay and Vijnanamay. Jnanamay Kosh, simply put, is the platform where you try to understand everything based on intelligence. That is Jnanamay. Vijnanamay is where you develop your intelligence to such a way that you are spiritually advanced. You act according to the instructions of the acharyas. So Jnana is said to be theoretical knowledge. Applied practically, it becomes Vijnana. So that's the difference. Grantharaj Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.